the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Akakande Lokandekwe, also known as Aka. I'm very excited about this episode because she's one of my favorites and she's back on the podcast. I feel like I want to have a ritual of people, since we're going to be doing this for years and years, I want to have a ritual of people I always want back on my podcast, depending on the season. And I feel like now we're coming to the end of the year, like everything is slowing down. There's a lot happening, but everything is slowing down. We're getting ready for the festive season and also getting ready to talk about money and our finances and where we've been at as a community, I would say, to say, okay, great. So how have we been spending our money? I love this guest because I always review my secrets with her. So I can't wait to see what I review this time, because last time I thought I talked too much. I was like, okay, I really did say a lot in that episode. Even I have times when I'm like, okay, I said a lot, should I cancel that episode and pretend I didn't have it? But anyway, with that being said, today's guest is Chipe Popiri from Finance with Chipo, and I think she has good news somewhere in between because I saw something online, so I can't wait for her to talk about it all. Hi Chipe Popiri.
Hi Aka, we are recording the second session together, and Chipo goes ahead and says finances is cheapo. Guys, please. I'm Chipo Popiri. It's just like, okay.
This is Chipo Popiri from Finance with Chipo. I like the finance with Chipo. You know that's your brand, right? Oh. I know you want to to probably move away from it one day, but girl, we know you.
Okay, the name, it's Chipo, not the Chipo part.
So, mm-hmm. So when is it finance with Chipepo or finance with Chipo?
Finances with Chipepo. With me. It's like finances with you.
I never see the Chipepo there. I think, honestly, maybe we also had this issue last time. Honestly, in my head, I read it as finances with Chipo. I know you're cheap
people. You said it correct. No, I know you know, because you said my name and then you like think something else. No. But no, I get it.
well, at least if the guests know that I really do have problems with names, so embarrassing. this is like one of the ways I embarrass myself.
No, we'll extend grace.
Please, when it comes to your names, please extend grace. That's why I extend grace when it comes to my name. Because I know that, oh my goodness, I'm really just having a hard time in this world. So, how are you?
I'm good. I'm great. Yeah.
How have you been? How's been your year so far? Because again, we recorded, I guess, this time around last year. I had you on the podcast. It's really great to just have you back again.
Thank you. It's been quite a long year. It started on a high note, went on for like a few months like that, then it was just like a zigzag note, and now in my, like, for myself, I'm in a new year, my own new year, because I like to start my new year in quarter four. Like, whatever it is I want to work on for the incoming year, I started. So, yeah. Then now I established that, maybe I do start my new year after taking vacation. So that's also a twist to the whole quarter four thing. But essentially, it's been a rough year. A lot of external factors for anyone who's like running something online. We've had the worst internet, the power situation thing and all that. And there are certain things that I thought would be solved by solar that haven't been. So I'm just like, okay, wow.
Don't tell me that.
So it's been that type of year. High note, zigzag note, kind of flat note, but it's been great overall. Yeah. I don't know about yours.
I've had a great year. I traveled for 6 months. So my year kind of started in June. It's like the dumbest. It's like, you know, when you think of someone as a
traveling, your year is not happening? Is that what you mean?
No, like, because I've been traveling for 6 months. I had so much fun and I didn't live in Lusaka for like so many months. I would travel, come back home for a few days, travel out. it didn't matter where I was going. I'll probably just go to a different town and everything. So, this has been the longest I've stayed in Lusaka, which is like a solid 4 months. But I also traveled again out. So like a solid 4 months in Lusaka. And you know what? I have questions. Like, I'm not having the best time with external factors. And listening to you speak, because I woke up this week and I told my mom, like, I really need an inverter or an alternative power because I'm really struggling. My mom was like, what's wrong? I really just don't want to be a Zesco person. And when you work home, because again, if I say I'd leave home and work from a cafe, work from a restaurant, that's a cost incurred. Like, I'm seeing, like, every time I leave the house, it's not a cheap thing if you work alternatively, like 3 times a week from an office and at the time of the week. Restaurant, not so cheap as well. So yeah, I think, like you said, the internet is bad. Thank God the internet is good today. The internet was bad yesterday when I was recording. And I'm like, I pay for Wi-Fi. I want alternative power. I think there's a balance. Even the network is bad. I don't know if there's, we're having a balance on what we are experiencing as a whole, because I feel like everything is just not stabilizing.
So bad. Yeah,
it's so bad, especially for us that run small businesses. Not fun, because I can't be working from 24 to 04. Very unrealistic.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's, even for me, who would rather do that? Then what time, like, do I sleep with this heat? Anyway, yeah.
Yes, and sometimes, surprisingly, I wake up early in the morning. If I sleep at 4, to wake up at 6 to read, to meditate, like, my body will be like, ma'am, please wake up. But it's overall, I think it's also been a fun year. Like I mentioned earlier, that I have traveled. Yeah. I traveled, so I like to travel. So I traveled the first 5-6 months of the year. And surprisingly, all my trips are cancelled for the rest of the year. So I had so much fun. I met so many people. I stayed home a lot. I went back home. So I think being home is such a safe space. Like, Lusaka is not a safe space for anybody, guys. So I go back home. And yeah, so it's been a good year, surprisingly. Like, I can't even say that it's been a bad year. But it's been a cost and benefit year. So I really can't wait to kind of just dive into what that looks like for your finances when you kind of travel a lot and don't have a permanent job, because again, you can't travel a lot when you have a permanent job, but like that cost and benefit thing where you say, for me, yeah, I said, like, oh, I'm gonna travel instead of saving, and working full time and just figure everything out the rest of the year. So when it comes to cost and benefits with finances, like, how do we measure it?
Okay, look, I'm here. Like, I guess I need to experience something very similar to, like, apply it. But anyway, obviously, there's the thing of what you're investing in at a particular time. So in this case, travel for you is obviously an investment in your experiences, in your networks. You can tell us, you're the one traveling. But obviously, the benefits do outweigh you having to just stay in one place and keep that money, I should think, right?
And so let me give a background here. So with my experience I started to travel in January, right? So I started to travel in January. And because I do not have stable clients, I would say I have project clients. So the first 6 months, I would say that I had no clients, but I had savings that was able to let me kind of travel to different places, meet different people, and spend so much time with my family. I think the benefit there was like a timeout. It's 2025. It's been a year where I'm very skeptical about a lot of stuff, and I'm not really sure the direction I want with my life. I feel like last year was like, I'm fresh out of university. Like, I have the momentum. Now, like, I've tested the waters and I'm like, okay, great. business is rough. Working for a company is also not fun. What do I want to do? Then also just the fact that I wanted to spend so much time with my grandparents this year. So okay. The benefit is on that. It's like I spend so much time with my grandparents. So for me, like not having money, which is anxiety inducing, was worth the cost to saying, okay, because the cost was only money. So yeah.
The benefits of you traveling outweigh the benefits of you keeping your savings or putting it to another investment that just locks it up versus you utilizing it to have the family experience, like spending time with your grandparents, but also just sort of like refresh, recuperate, like just really have your thoughts around what the year will look like. And I guess planning, the way you said, it's like changing because when you came from uni, it's like different. And now you're learning a different aspect of like starting or deciding to be in your own thing, that's you running your business versus being in employment and all that. Yeah. So in that sense, like you've said, I tell people that what we're going to invest in will be different all the time. And that's why it's asking someone like, what's the best investment? And you end there, it's so vague. Like, what do you mean for Chipepo, for Aka, for who? And also in what moment? Because in 3-5 years, it will still look different. Like what you will value over the other thing will look different. And sometimes as life goes on, even in the same year, you could plan and say, this is how I'm going to focus, like allocating my funds or my income. Even if I only have 2 clients, when the money comes, this is what I'm going to do. But something may happen in that year that would throw off all the plans you had. And actually, you have to leave room for that. I always say, you're the one creating, I say this for the budgets, but I also say this for the plans or the goals. Like, you're the one creating the goals or the plans. So don't make it rigid and say they are rigid. You're the one who's rigid. So if you see that things are changing, be open to the fact that you also have to alter your goals or your plans, and that's fine. I've had to pause a lot of goals this year. I've had to withdraw from my, I won't even call them savings, these ones, like from an investment that I wanted to grow, I ended up like having to withdraw most of it. That wasn't the plan at all. But one thing about me, I will be flexible. Like I'm the one who put you there, as I'm going to get you when I need to. That's me talking to my money, obviously. So yeah, maybe some people will think, oh no, like actually people put those restrictions on themselves and then they become frustrated by their own money. I don't know if I can say money, what, money rules, money laws. It even seems like a law, because a law you shouldn't break, but rules, like come on, you should break the rules sometimes.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And again, like you mentioned, I think it's about having grace. And I like what Morgan Housel says. It's one of his latest episodes. His new book is out, but one of his latest episodes, I think.
Boy, I saw that. I'm like, Psychology of Money did so, like, he had to, do another one.
And you know what? His books are really good, actually. I have read Same As Ever, because I have Same As Ever as well. I'm like, okay, I get it. He writes very differently, that I'm hooked.
Yeah.
Like, sir, it's okay. You can have my money and I will listen to what you say. So one of the things he said in his episode was like, we all play different games, right? So it's very hard to kind of compare with other people because you do not know what type of matrices other people are using for their game they're playing when it comes to their money. Like, we all have played different games, we all have different priorities, and we're all in different seasons. So yeah, I think 2025 was just like that season where I was like, hey, I'm gonna chill, guys. It's not that deep on my end, which is very anxiety inducing for everybody else around me, but I'm like, it's okay, I'm fine.
You say, like, for everybody, do you feel like they feel like at some point they'll have to, like, I can't quite bail you out per se, but like they'll have to come in, like come through for you because they are not sure how you're moving?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
And to be honest, they have come through. I think like my parents, my uncles, like this has been the year where I was just like, oh, I can't do that. Could you please do it for me? I'm like, oh, sure. Because I think it's, but I also feel like a lot of the people around me, money wise and decision wise when it comes to my life, because again, you can, when you're growing up, you also have to realize that in your 20s, you now start making individualistic decisions, but then they affect everybody around you because they think you should move in a certain way. They pictured it. They pictured you studied accounting, you're going to do this and that. So last year was a time where everybody was like, you have to do this. But this year, it's like we're having more conversations on, why is she doing this? What's your thinking process? Like, I want to understand before I judge. That type of thing. And yeah, I think I'm getting everybody on board. Like, I have a lot of, you don't want to do that? Really, Aka? Okay. It's like, and make me understand your thinking process. That's nice. It's fun. I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Like, that's good. Like, if they're getting to, or leaving room to understand that you may do things differently and they are okay to watch how it turns out, that's good.
Yeah, and ready to bail you out when you're stuck. I like being a girl.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are some of the few changes you have experienced this year? And like, what was like your biggest move when it comes to your business and what you're working on?
Okay, a few changes, my biggest move. Ish, to say a few changes, it feels like grand changes. But anyway, I'll start with the latter. My biggest move really is trying to decide how or if I should separate finances with people as a personal brand from building the business, which is Savvy Investor Center. So there's a bit of a difference, like, when I was registering it, I even thought, okay, it would just be about personal finance education. But then I remembered that there's something that I really wanted along the way. Like, the more my platforms grew and the more I interacted with people, clients and everything, I realized that there was a gap in sometimes people not achieving the goals that they would set, even when we do things like the 6 months groups, accountability groups, the get your money right groups. Some people, even after 6 months, they don't achieve their goals. Like, I will not stand here and lie and be like, we have like 500 participants and they all achieved what they set to achieve in 6 months or half of it. No, there are some who, by the end of 6 months, they are worse than when we started. Like, they're in more debt, they're in more chaos there. And I realized that it's not just the money. I think there's even someone who has a book, It's Not Just Money, something like that. He's South African. But anyway, for him, he talks about property mainly. But anyway, it takes you back to, I do talk about mindset a lot. Like, people need to first reset their mindset before they can do anything. So this doesn't even just apply to money. It applies to everything in life, really, before you can attempt to do it, before you can do it. And everything we see, like right now, I'm sitting at the table, there's a lamp, there's a laptop, there's a phone, there's a power bank. I'm like, all these things, before they could come into existence, someone had to think of them. The mindset had to accept that, yes, we could keep power in what we can call a bank and someone could use it without like having it linked to direct electricity. But anyway, not to go in that direction. Of course, we're talking about money. So some people in those groups, I realized that the gap was they maybe don't know how to show up in their workspaces, in their businesses, how to sell themselves, their own personal brand. How do they speak? Do they speak with confidence? So that's obviously public speaking. So the mindset, yes, personal finance, but on its own, you may not achieve much if you don't know how to position yourself in your, like you're saying, you're like doing, having a few clients. Someone out there can't even fathom, like, how can you have a few clients and it's enough? Some people think they should sell maybe to like so many people, maybe something for just 2 kwacha. Of course, there are business models and everything is different, but some people only understand things one way. So long story short, Savvy Investors now, I was like, this should be a place where you learn like soft skills, life skills, the skills that you're not taught in school. I am a biologist. I went to school. I learned about plants. I learned about animals, a bit of geology here and whatever, just science, right? But what helped me even get to here where I'm being like invited to be on a podcast is not because I went to university and studied biology, right? It's obviously because along the way I learned how to speak, to grab people's attention, how to have a personal brand where someone, if they hear HPPOP, what comes to mind? Obviously, personal finance. If I wanted to excel that way in my field, I would have also found a way to just be that. If you mention me in a different setting, maybe in the food, fisheries and aquaculture sector or food security and the like, people would think of me as, oh, okay, that one who trains about aquaculture. Okay, yeah, that person who's knowledgeable about fish. Some people don't even know about that, right? So those are some of the skills. Like, how do you go beyond what you've learned, what you've studied, in a way that it makes you successful in your field, in your own rights? And even if you decided to pivot, you would still make it because you have the skills that can be applied in any sphere. So that was me now, like, transitioning to selling that, like, to people as a business. So an online school, let me put it that way, that is just about skills. And that's the hardest part, or the craziest part, like transitioning from just being financial support to pushing savvy investors the idea and what it's about. Yeah. So that's one. Then you've been so quiet. Tell me the other thing.
No,
like, I wondering it. Yeah.
What I can say is it's actually been interesting to see you transition from just finance with cheap people to savvy investors. Because, again, one of the biggest gaps that we have in Zambia and what a lot of big companies in Zambia are investing in is soft skills. Because there's an actual gap. You know what I mean? Like, this is not something we're imagining. It's really from past experiences. Some of you and I probably had to really be very dynamic on how we learn, and this is why we are here. But a lot of people come from a culture where, or families actually, they're not surrounded in an environment per se that enables them to have those conversations and tell them to say, your degree is not enough. You really do need to learn differently. You actually need soft skills so that you can actually articulate yourself very well and carry yourself in a way that will position you for greater opportunities. Like, those are not conversations had in certain environments for like 90% of young people. Yeah. So, like, seeing you kind of work on savvy investors and also create an online school, like, this is an actual gap. We're not having a lot of conversations about it. And for me, I feel like we don't have a lot of data on it. We know it's real, but we do not know what the percentages are. So it's really great to kind of see that a lot of people are investing in this and are doing this. So,
Yes, please. I mean, people like Ali Abdal have built what I can even call an online empire, just talking about productivity. Like, what? Like, this is someone I was watching from university and seeing how they've grown in that. And when I speak about it now, I don't even speak about it from the business point of view, like him making the money. I'm speaking about it from the fact that he has had that many people watch his videos, sign up to his courses. It means a lot of people want to learn how to be productive. Like, it sounds silly, but that means there's that many people who want to learn some of these skills that are not well defined in the curriculums that you find at universities, but out there we need to learn. Like, people don't, you could ask someone, like, can you set up a Zoom meeting? They wouldn't even know where to start from. Like, most of my classes, I put them on Google Drive, and people would ask me, what do you mean? What's Google Drive? How do I open it? I'm like, oh my God. So, like, it's not just about me teaching personal finance. Like, people actually have to become literate in using digital tools, like understanding how they work, understanding that I can't send the class to you on WhatsApp. No, you have to actually have the app, the Google Drive app, and what, like, things like that. So now you can imagine if you're even hosting on platforms like maybe Kajabi, you would have to start educating people what Kajabi is to start with, that it's safe for them to use. It sounds silly, but like those are some of the things that we are so like, it's, I can't say we are behind on, because that's what came to mind, but I'm realizing that no, there's it means we're, there's opportunity for people. Yes, we're not exposed to those things, so there's opportunity for people to use those tools and actually educate people on how they can utilize them, both from the business side and from the user side. So and I would love that Savvy Investors gets to be that place that we can host people who teach about such things. How can you become digital savvy or whatever, you know, just all these things that you will not just learn at school. So
so someone would
know there's a question that I haven't answered, but that's my answer to the other one.
And now this is me diving in into this one. I know there's a question you haven't answered. Because to be honest, I struggle with this. I know I was laughing, but just people would be thinking, that's normal. You shouldn't, like, that's obvious. You should know how to fully use the Google Workspace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Google is that's not your email. And
email, it's not.
Yes. Like, there's a whole Google Workspace. And I always say, before I use a different app, I want to fully utilize my Google Workspace. And you'd be surprised how a student doesn't know how to fully use the Google Workspace. They don't know why they should use their student email. What's the benefits of having a student email for certain programs? Like, they don't understand that. And sometimes, let's even not talk about youths. Even people that have been in the workspace for so many years don't know how to use the Google Workspace. Yeah. I can't mention names, but I'm always like, you people can't send me a meeting in my email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't even know like what. Where do I even start from?
Add it to my calendar. Like, I'm always like, I won't see it. Me in my head, something should be added in my calendar. And it will be when it's time for that meeting. I might be aware, but days happen. So the gap isn't just even for like young people. And some people would think,
because
young
for everyone.
It's everybody. And also, I think it's like a really good market to get into, because you'd be surprised how many people don't know. It's a huge
number. I agree. It's the gaps are many, like, really. Like, people don't know you can actually have your contacts like accessible to your email. Like, you don't even have to go through your phone to look at your contacts, and you can actually have people by like their email, their names, full names, their phone, personal phone number, their work phones, and like so on and so forth. You can add birthdays and you'll be reminded. It sounds like, okay, but no, like, many people don't know that. And you can imagine, how are you going to compete? Sometimes people think, oh, I'm not getting a job, but I'm an engineer. You're an engineer, but you're not competing with someone else who knows things about engineering. You're competing with someone who knows that it's not just about knowing how to use Word. It's about knowing how to use the whole MS Office. It's about knowing how Teams works. It's about knowing that you can create groups in Microsoft Teams and blah, blah, blah. So that's what you're competing with, like, in the marketplace. Whether it's in business, you're competing with someone who will have a system that a client can just wake up at 01, they want to buy something, and they'll get an instant response properly, not just the hello, we are what, and that's it. Like, they'll go through the whole process and actually even proceed to purchase something without needing to go back and forth with you. Like, that's who you're competing with. So you're not competing with, oh, but me, I'm the best at this particular thing. You may be the best at that particular thing, but the other skills that make it like a complete package, that's what you're competing with, the person who has those skills. So,
What was your other question, by the way?
It's you who asked me. So if you have this written down, just go through them, the questions.
No, I don't. You should know me by now. I think it was like your minor changes, like a few changes that you're experiencing now. I think transitioning from just being finances with CheapAirPod to Savvy Investors is like your major change, right?
Yes.
I think the other question, if I'm not wrong, is a few changes that you have experienced this year.
Ah, okay. And I was like, yeah, no, it's a lot. Well, the changes, because of the same transitions, transitioning rather than transitions, I've been having to now learn, like, how do you position yourself as a business? And as a business, what are you going to look for in terms of working with other people? How are you going to position yourself to get people to want to also work with you and growing it alone? Because if it's going to be an online thing, at least that's one thing I know, that it's good to then have a strong online presence. And it's not just about numbers. It's about branding or the PR. Like, what do people think of when they see something from Savvy Investors and the like? So the minor changes, looking for people to work with who at least understand the vision. I know I would maybe classify that as major, but it's minor, because the major things is actually me getting to really express the vision in a way that it's understood out there, not just to the people I'm working with, but to the people who I would love, like, they recognize that they can work with us. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Minor, major, but everything is so interrelated. And again, I think you're articulating it very well, because you're talking about how the bigger thing is you expressing the vision well, so that people can understand what they're getting themselves into and how that's going to work. So if you own an, let's just bring it home. Having an online business in Zambia. Welcome to the club, Chibebo. I've been here for a while. It's not fun. Apart from, I know we kind of started with what are the biggest challenges we're experiencing in Zambia, or what we're experiencing in general. And we talked about the power shortages, the internet, the network. Now that you're always doing this online, now that fully, like, how can I put this? Now that you have fully accepted, I hope this is right, like, now that you have fully accepted that, hey, I want my business online, what are some of the big changes you've had to make in your life to kind of tackle the challenges we're facing as a country? And yes, and also just accepting the fact that this is going to be online. We might have challenges, you kind of have to make this work.
Oh my God, I didn't feel like this question is being asked to end, because I'm like, I'm still in the process. Like I said, even like, yes, we've had solar this whole year, since January, but it was like, oh yeah, one thing solved. And then now I've gone through almost every network provider except now Starlink. And I like how when I complain about internet on Finance Shop, I usually do this on Facebook, and people be like, just buy Starlink. I'm like, Starlink is not one kwacha. I may talk about money, but guys, come on. It's not like I'm just going to be like, yeah, let me just pull out this big sum of kwachas and get Starlink. And someone may argue that and say, oh, but you said you want an online business, so obviously you should be willing to invest in it. Yeah, I'm investing in so many other things. You are trying to pay for many chats. You're trying to pay for Zoom subscriptions. You're trying to pay for maybe extra storage. You're trying to pay for marketing. There are many, many other costs. Last year, my laptop was stolen, and up to now, I'm just like, oh my God, I haven't replaced it, because the replacement I want is a very good laptop, right? And I've had to weigh my options, because power banks, the first power bank I bought was not good. I had to buy another one. So I spent like 2,000 kwacha on power banks in total, like, for me to end up now getting the good one. So it's things like that. I told myself, you know what, if I'm just like, yeah, let me keep investing in the business, I'll find that I have no money elsewhere. All my money is just like in a laptop, in a power bank, in a what. And so weighing the, like, what can I say? Sort of, but not even that way. It's like, in this case, I'm just trying to weigh, should I spend more money investing in the business right now, or should I do it gradually? And versus, for example, now bringing us back to the vacations and traveling, like, I also want a breather from all of that, right? Yeah. So it's like, do I spend money to put towards the vacation, or do I get this money and just get all the Starlinks and what, because yes, I can afford those things, but one thing over the other, I can't afford them at the same time, because I'm not a person, like I said, even the first session we had together, the first recording, Like, I cannot operate on, like, oh, it will solve itself. Like, I want to have some money in my account. I want to have some money in investments that helps me move around comfortably and sleep peacefully. So I chose vacations and revamping my wardrobe, getting my husband a gift he wanted over me, like continuously just solving problems in the business. So some things have lagged because of it. Yeah.
What can I say? I totally relate. So that's how I was laughing.
Yeah, no, I get you. And I remember someone, I was having a conversation with, and they were just telling me about someone who renovated their store. They like vamped it up and what, and they had to close it down because their revenue wasn't matching. So that's another thing now. Yeah. Like, there's a time when I would just like sell classes so easily, but now I've seen that there's like, I need to put in more effort for me to get even like a certain number of sales or a certain like amount in revenue, right? So you can find that you are overly investing in your business versus what it's giving you. And people get caught up in this, and you see a lot of people who get into debt when they're running a business. It's usually because of that. You just feel like, oh my God, I have to continue investing in it. Maybe then it will do better. And before you know it, you're knee deep in debt, but it's not giving you what it should give you. So you have to look at, okay, if I invest in a laptop, am I going to do things faster? Are there things I'm going to do that I can't do on a smartphone? Because I do have a smartphone. So if it can wait, maybe let it wait a bit. Let me focus on bringing in money. And when that money gets to a certain point, now I can help the business buy itself things versus me now utilizing my money and keep funding this thing, keep funding it. And then some of the things are not directly related to bringing in revenue. They just help you do certain things, but they, like, you could still function without them for some time. So yeah, weighing such options. It's been crazy, but it's been a lot of just that, like learning around what I need right now. And what can be bought in December or even next year. Yeah.
No, I love the honesty, because I listen to you speak, and literally situation sounds bad. Like, that's where I'm at as a business as well. So I'm at as a business.
It doesn't. I think it's maybe you're thinking, but it just sounds normal. Like, I get it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So my situation is that just that. Like, there's always something to buy, right? There's certain things you can't function without. Like, hey, I need my Zoom subscription. I need extra space. I need this and that. I can't function with that when it comes to my podcast and everything. That's, like, very underlined. But then I'm like, oh, but a new laptop would be great. An inverter would be great at home. Like, I'm like, oh, that would be great. That would make my life easy. But it means that I might need to kind of get my money and buy those stuff or get into debt. And one thing I actually got into a lot this year for the first time was debt that I'm still paying off, because of thinking you need everything. And I love that you mentioned that you're putting in so much money in a business and it's not giving you back that money at the rate you thought it'd be giving you back. So you're investing so much and you have the assumptions to think that I need to do this, I need to have that. We always think everything is a necessity, when it's just like, oh, it's a must, it's a nice to have, and I can still do it later. Is one of the lessons I'm also learning this year, is I really just need to chill for a while and wait for this to kind of figure itself out and wait for the business to pay for the stuff. And yeah, not use my finances as much when it comes to things that are just nice to have. So yeah, like I totally relate.
I'm glad you do. I'm glad you get it. Yeah. It's really something I see a lot. And sometimes you just like, oh my God, no, you didn't need new paint or new chairs. You didn't need that flower pot or whatever, because you still spend money on that. Maybe what you needed was to just hire someone to help you come up with great hooks. Like, I'm just giving an example, maybe for people who have to create videos to earn money. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like interesting, like navigating the online space or remote working or having an online business in Zambia or just even Africa, because again, I think that we're really going through different things. at one point you'd be thinking, oh, I got this. Like, I think I know. And honestly, I want to laugh on the internet because I use Airtel, right? My Wi-Fi is Airtel. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Even now, it's telling me that the internet is not good. But I'm paying also, money.
Yeah, I mentioned them. I was like, ha, ha, ha. They're going to be like, oh, you mentioned us. We are suing you. Because me, I was just like, I can list all of them and the experience. It's crazy. Yeah.
But is it a lie, though?
And I don't know. It's not.
Yeah, but I hear it, Starlink is the best. And I can't wait to transition to that when I can afford it. I can't wait to transition.
Yeah, you're in the group and it scared me. Like, some people are like, oh my God, I've not had it for like 24 hours. Oh, it's not working. What? But anyway, when it works, it's excellent for sure. It's just like, yeah, I guess there's nothing perfect, but it's by far, like, you can't compare with what's around. People are talking about Zamtel coming up with fiber. And apparently
they've always had fiber, actually. What's the name?
Now they have it, like, they are rolling it out in more areas. So, like, more like expansion or something. Let's call it that way. Like, for residential, they didn't really have that, like easily accessible, I think. But even that, coming back to, like, we're just always leading in Zambia. We're always leading.
Pleading is nice, begging.
Partner, we tried to get them to come and check if our area can get fiber here, and they've just put us on scene. I've got someone's number. I asked them, and they've just left me on blue ticks. Like, okay, all right, good. I guess Zamtel has enough money. They don't want my money, so yeah.
Again, we're always begging. Like, when you say pleading sounds nice. You for realize how I say that. In my day, I'll be fighting providers. You'll be like, and this isn't just like our major ones, which are like the big three, I guess. I won't mention names, but we've kind of mentioned them here. But in general, just network providers. Oh, no, not network providers, just service providers, actually. Just the service providers. I think that it's my money, but you're acting like you don't want it. And I'm in between. Like, do you want my money or don't you want my money? Because I worked hard for it and you're offering me a service. And what's the word? It's mediocre. Like, it's mediocre work, but you still want my money. So, yeah, I think that's my biggest thing is, I think we even mentioned this before the podcast, is like, our man, we're always begging. As a country, ish. I really do feel it for us, and
yeah, like it's annoying.
So one of the things I have noticed that you've been doing so great, and I think we talked about this on our previous episode, is talking about finances for kids. Surprisingly, I'm having a lot of kids conversations these days, random strangers, clients away on the podcast, because I feel like a lot of these things are not taught to us or taught to our parents. And I'm going to be a future parent someday in the future.
Mm-hmm.
10 years from now, probably. I'm going to be a future parent. And I'm like, what's the type of environment? Because the current environment that we have for children is not safe, actually. It's just not safe. And because of AI and everything else, but focusing on finances and some of the products you've been sharing about kids and having the conversations you've been having, like, what do you think is the shift now from the last time we had a conversation about kids' investments and everything? And you really, I think you've been really diving into this year. Like, what are you noticing as some of the changes happening?
Okay. So let me ask, changes happening from like the investor point of view, the parent point of view, or from the service provider's point of view, like the places we go to invest? Both.
I think both, okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I could answer to both, actually. So I've sort of lightly documented us investing for our future kids. They are not here, but we invest for them. I'm putting out there for someone who may not know. And of course, more people now ask me about that. Like, oh, so what are you investing in? how can I set up an account and things like that. So one, I do like make posts where I'm just like, it's not going to be one thing that you're going to invest in for your kids. Obviously, for me and my partner, we decided based on what made sense to us. You may decide on what makes sense to you, what you have full understanding in, and what aligns with the goals that you have for your kids. Is it for their education? Is it that they can be going on vacations every year? Like, is it that you want them to just go to the best schools in primary school and they'll figure it out in secondary or in tertiary levels? So, yeah, the shift that I've seen, one, from the investors is that definitely there's now more interest. Like, people are beginning to, like, compare options of what they can invest in for their already existing kids and the kids that are going to come in 10 years, which is really nice. Like, we are really thinking ahead. And when we look at communities, like, in the world, for lack of better terms, like, the people who we feel are maybe financially advantaged, like, they are ahead of us, they've had certain things for years, trusts and what, it's because children are being born and they've already got a net worth, as they put it. So seeing that people are now so interested that they're even getting on investing for kids that are not here yet, that's really nice. That shift already, the fact that someone has made up their mind that they can even do that is already a major win for all of us. Then from the service providers, I'll give it to one specific one that I even saw, like for the stock brokers, for example, because that's one of the options, things that you can invest in. You can invest in stocks for your kids. Of course, you can invest in government securities. You can invest in property. Others do land banking, where they just keep buying land for their offspring. So it's really up to you. Unit trusts are also a good option to invest in. Businesses as well. I've seen people open businesses for their kids. But anyway, so I saw like, one of the stockbrokers should be Money Acumen Advisory. They were even like advertising, like, create a junior account for your kids. I'm like, that's really good, because it's one thing for the financial literacy educators to say you can invest for your kids, and if someone says, okay, for me the investments that make sense are like capital market investments, and then they don't really see anyone talking about it from the brokers, then they come back and they're like, you told me that I can open, but I've been given forms, and they just seem to be like, you know, for me. But then if the company is already even putting out posts saying you can open for your kid already, that makes the conversation easy. People are scared sometimes to go and talk to these people in banks. Eh? You tell them, no, you can go and ask for this. They'll go and they'll just like freeze. They'll fail to ask, come back and be like, ah, I couldn't because they didn't even mention it. I thought they'd mention it. So already if they're posting about it, it means that someone will be comfortable enough to just go and say, hey, I want that. Like, you don't even have to explain it. You can point at it. I want to open for my kid and start investing for them. Whether it's monthly, weekly, yearly, depending on what you can afford. So, yeah, more parents, more non-parents are getting into the idea of just putting money aside for not just them, but also their children. And then the service providers as well, they are now talking more about investing for the future generations. And then also, for example, like the, what do you call them? Okay, the word has gone, but let me just say like Luce, for example, right? They are now like encouraging teachers to take their students there for like, what can you call it? Maybe a day out where they just move around. They explain to them how the stock market works and what. And I've also seen, I think Securities and Exchange Commission, they do this thing where they ask students, like university students, if I'm not mistaken, or high school students as well, to like write on particular topics, and they get to win certain things. So already that is like incorporating more young people in just getting to learn about different investments and being exposed to the capital markets and also just financial services. Let me put it that way, because even if someone didn't decide to invest in those particular things, from there, their interest to even learn, whether it's about property or something else, it will come up. Yeah. In the process of doing research and all that. So that's what I've seen, and it's really nice. Yeah.
I think it's so nice. And also speaking from a non-parent that has that has kids at 25, I actually opened a trust for my younger sister. I am in process. She's such a lucky kid. I want to do something for my baby. That's my nephew, my first child. And I'm in between decisions. Because I do not know if the trust I opened for my sister is a good, I like it enough, but I don't want to close it anyway. But I'm thinking maybe I'll do something different for my nephew. And I'm also doing this with my service provider. Because one day I was at the bank and they were like, do you know you can do this? And all I needed to do that insurance to do that. Now that I can do it with my bank, it just is, how can I put it? It was just easy for me to just make the decision then and there and put it. Yeah, like I didn't have to go to a service provider. Like I didn't want to go to the specific service provider they are working with because I just felt like a chore. So yeah, like that's like one of the changes. But also one thing I noticed when you make such a big change is like your finances shift as well. So that's why I'm like, with my baby, with my younger baby, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll do his in January where I'm like, okay, my finances have shifted to this and this is how I'll do for him. But again, I feel like I'm saving for someone's school, for example, knowing very well like I might be responsible for this person's education in 10 years. I want to have something to start with and invest so much so that hey, if I can afford it and you don't have to get that money, great. You could use that money to start a business maybe after university. But just having the option of knowing, because some certain things we this responsibility to shift on me in the future.
Yeah,
planning it, I think is like would be a great deal as well.
I could add to that and just like make some pointers or comparisons. So you have to also look at like your age and of course your financial muscle. When myself and my partner like decided to start investing for our kids, we were not even yet married. Were we engaged? I don't remember. I forgot it, but I think I spoke about it briefly in the previous. I don't know. I really think I did. Yeah. So we just started with like, okay, we'll put in small amounts monthly because we had once bought off before that, maybe 2 years prior, we had bought like once off, like just some shares. And it was for that, like he said that. I'm like, okay, all right, kids, okay, interesting. And later on now when we're like, okay, let's open an account properly because then it was under mine. Then let's do it on a monthly basis. We just put like 1,000 kwacha, like you put 500, I put 500. And when we don't have enough, because the minimum with our broker was 500 kwacha, so we said, okay, you can just put 250, I put 250. And if one of us doesn't have, the person who has can still put an amount. And we did that for like 3-4 months continuously. Unfortunately, like a lot of other things came in and we didn't make it priority. That's what I'll say, because we had the money still, like we could have afforded a 500 kwacha, but it wasn't just priority. So we stayed for like maybe like 6 to almost 8 months, like, I don't know, of not investing. And then when we looked at the fund, we're like, okay, there's growth from just those 4 months. So we said, no, let's be serious. Let's take this seriously. And we got back to it, this time with even like an accountability partner. So for them, as well as a couple, they were investing for their two children. I'm calling them babies, but they're not like literal babies. They're children. They're just kids. Now it was like, okay, have you invested? Like, we'd send each other, like, have you invested for this month? Okay, we invested. And it was fun. And then with all that happening, now it became like, I think another pivotal moment in the whole process of investing. There was a time, I would say my husband for this point, because let me just insert a joke, because someone apparently asked one of my friends, like, why doesn't she say husband? So, yeah, let me say husband.
Please, your husband.
He was like, you know what? Can you come from Australia with this car? He had some money, and he was like, what do you think? Should I buy a car? Should I sell this one, top up, and buy like a better car that I would like? So I was like, okay, if the car is bothering you that much, that's fine. But in my opinion, I would rather like you just fix a few things that you think are not okay with the car. And then the remaining lump sum, put it in the stock market. I can't remember the exact amount right now, but it was below 100K at like minus like all the amounts to fix the account. But so maybe it's around 60K or 70, I don't know, I've forgotten. So yeah. And he put it, like he decided, he was like, okay, I've thought of it and you're right. I think it's not like a pressing matter. The car can wait. I'll do that. Because I also didn't want to be imposing. I think people ask me sometimes about such, like, the fact that for me, talking about money is like a daily thing. I'm always learning. I'm always comparing things. I try to be relaxed in my own personal life. Like, I don't just go to my mom or my sister and be like, do this. This is a wrong thing. I really tell them, like, make comparisons. What do you think? And if you feel like you can't, maybe, like, put all your money in an investment or savings, maybe just say a percentage, maybe just 20%, 10%. I let them, like, I give them my opinion, then I let them have autonomy. Like, they get to decide. And I do that even with my partner. Like, I don't say, no, we are going to do this. Like, I just tell him, no, it's fine. You want a TV. A TV is, like, you really want a TV. It's more pressing. Buy the TV. Like, I'm not always going to be like, even if it's not important to me, I won't be like, no, you cannot buy a TV. So, like, that's something that I just want people to also take away. Like, even if you feel like in that moment your decision would be the better one financially, you don't have to impose it. Ask the person you're speaking to make comparisons and see what would be better for them. And even if they make the decision that you think is not good, that's also fine. Like, just keep trying. Don't be imposing. Anyway, to continue. So in a short period, I don't know if I can say lucky, but I wouldn't say that because I've studied the stock market. I've studied investments. So obviously it was an informed decision, but also consulting our brokers. And in a month or weeks, I don't know, 2 months or something, like, it was really like great capital growth. And he was like, you know what? This was a good decision. So from there on, you know, said, you know what? I'm now going, like, if I just get a gig, I make money, I'm going to like pump it in. So now it moved from us just saying, we'll put a 500, we'll put a 1,000. It went to, if extra money comes, goes there. Any, come up, you know, significantly higher lump sum amount throws in there. And I will kid you not, our plan was that by the time, initial plan anyway, was like, by the time they're 18, they could have a portfolio that is maybe worth $2 million or something like that. And I remember posting about this on Facebook and people were laughing, oh, $2 million won't be the same and what. And I always tell people, the important thing is just starting. Because if you start, along the way, the momentum will give you a certain level of motivation that you may even enhance your plan, like make it better so you get to your goal faster than you would have initially done. So long story short, later on, when he saw that growth, he was like, you know what? By the time we're having our first kid, I would like it to be $1 million. And I'm like, okay, cool. Of course, I would not discuss when we're having our first kid, but it was just like a period. And then shortly, because now you keep doing that, we hit $1 million. Not because we invested $1 million, but because the fund grew to $1 million. And in that whole process, I learned that if we didn't start, we wouldn't have known how good it gets. We wouldn't have gotten to a point of being so motivated that now you're just literally like spotting financial opportunities. Like, what can I do here? What work can I do that it will give me some extra money and I get to invest? So that's one. But we are young, so we could take such risks. Because again, remember, what if we lost that money? Yes, this is a good story because it has worked to our advantage so far. So for my mom, different scenario, because that's why I shared that. She wants to invest for my young sister, who's just 18. She completed grade 12 and now she's going to uni. So she said this, she's been putting some money aside over the years, that thing where they cut from your salary, like a certain amount, and then they give you afterwards. It's maturing next year. And she asked me, like, what should I do? So for her, I told her, because you need this money sooner than later, you're going to have to put in a unit trust. Guys, by the way, this is not financial advice. It's financial education. Because obviously, I'm not going to tell you the funds. I'm not going to tell you the exact companies or what you have to consult. An advisor, a licensed advisor to give you advisory. I'm just giving like information for you to learn for the education purposes, and then you can decide what you do with that. Yeah. So for her, I told her a unit trust would be a better thing because one, it's easy for you to liquidate anytime, even if you needed the money like next month. And also you are guaranteed at least like you won't lose your capital. I don't know how bad it has to be that you lost your capital. So even if it didn't grow at, maybe they tell you, oh, this fund grows between 18% to 22% or something like that. Even if it grew at 10%, it means that you still have your money. Whereas in with our option, what me and my partner were doing, you could lose because you're investing in a company and different things happen, right? So I looked at her age and I'm like, this woman can't afford to lose all her money. And the kid is going to school in like a few months. So you can't just be like, oh, because Shobo has done this, let me also do this. One, what's your risk appetite? Two, you look at your age, how soon will you need your money? So you will know, and that will help guide you on like, I can put my money in this, but I can't put in something maybe that locks it up for a year because I'll need to access it in January. So how will I access it? You end up, people have lost money because they do, what do you call it? When you try to like withdraw money or get redeem your money before maturity, they'll penalize you. Like, sometimes you can lose like 50% of your money. So don't find yourself in such situations. And what helps you do that is being well-informed before you take the decision. So for you, Aka, obviously, you're looking at, oh, there's someone who will need money in 10 years. You may go for the options that allow you to maybe even put very small amounts because you don't need it very like soon. For someone who's like, I need it next year, maybe they have to go for the option where they are putting in a slightly bigger amounts. And again, it should be easier to access. For you, you can even be like, it's fine even if I access it in 5-7 years. So those are some of the things that I want people to consider. The end!
No, like listening to you speak, it's like, okay, I now know certain financial decisions I'm making next year. Again, guys, this is financial education. I'm a bit financially literate or I have access to information. So maybe that's how also maybe Chipepo and I are speaking on a different level. So this is a disclaimer before someone comes and said, how can Chipepo said we should do? We didn't. So some of the things I am probably going to change about my finances next year when it comes to investing for my next baby and my future kids and investing for myself is getting a broker. I don't have one. Not that I think they're bad. I just haven't thought of it. And so listening to you speak about you, how you and your husband talking about finances and how you're investing for your kids, I'm like, okay, great, because I don't want to do the same option I did for my sister, for my son. So I probably would change his approach, because again, I don't want to invest with the same company. And but yeah, it's interesting. And also I just realized, like, hey guys, I talk about kids. So for my future kids, I'm so excited. Guys,
that's nice.
For a girl that's single-ish, guys. So I can't wait to kind of start investing for them. And that would probably be in like 2 years or 3 years, because I'm still kind of analyzing with my current human beings. So I really can't wait for that. Like, you just inspired me to go like, oh, yay, if I have kids, I would do that for them.
Yeah, no, this is my plan. I'm like, I'll be asking them, like, so how does it feel just being here? Like, you got money, you don't have to work for it. Or be like, oh, one day when you finish university, you will make money. Like, yeah, they will, but like, they have money. No, we have to change the narrative. We have to change what we have, like, the things that we've not been handed. We at least have to, like, work on that. And yeah, of course, there's a debate that comes in now. Oh, like, are you going to be giving too much and blah, blah. I've seen that on the internet anyway, where it's like, oh, maybe like people will be pointing. Yeah. Like, guys, please, I've seen communities that have been doing this for years and clearly they are not even spoiled. So it's about you knowing as well the values that you will instill in your children. So I'm not worried about that. Yeah.
I'm not worried about it too, because I know I'm going to be very rich and my kids are going to be very privileged. Guys, not having money is worse than having money. Again, it comes to being values, but no one is going to convince me that I should leave them penniless and it's better than having the money.
No.
So I think, it always goes back to values. It goes back to that. And yeah, just something to be grateful for and something to look forward to. Before we got into this, you briefly talked about like how what would change in our communities and our environment if we kind of have like a mindset shift? And this is what you're doing with Savvy Investors. It's like the core to our situations and problems in Zambia. It's just like a mindset shift. And I just want to talk to you like briefly. What have you noticed? Like, do you think compared to a few years, like, do you think we're getting there? Like, there's a mindset shift. We're having the conversations. What do you think?
Yes. We are. From the time I started talking about like finances openly, like online, till date. So that's like since 2020. We're now in 2025. I can't believe it's been that long. But yeah. I have seen a huge shift in like people's mindsets towards taking care of their money. The resistance is still there, yes, but now there's like less resistance in terms of, because at some point people would even be like, why should someone tell me about taking care of my money? They still say that, but now there are people opposing them. This is just like everyone supporting them. Then aside that, it's no longer like people just watching from the sideline and maybe like clapping for you or being like, oh, of course you can. Of course you can do this. And some people would even be like, but you studied finance. So that's why I'm like, no. But now, yeah, like everyone is just like, I'm ready to learn. People, how can I put it? Of course, there are people who've always valued information and they'll pay for learning. But now, no offense to anyone, there are people that even like they'll even tell you like, I never thought I could ever pay anyone to teach me about, you know, like something to do with money. So like already that's a mindset shift as well. But even just them becoming more trusting towards investing in things that are not just property, because I feel like that's something that a lot of us have grown up seeing. Almost everyone in their circles, in their workspaces or whatever, they know someone who's bought property or who's built a house or who has student houses or something like that. But a lot of people at some point didn't think they could invest in like the things that we are talking about, the capital markets. Like a lot of people be like, oh, these things don't work in Africa, west of Zambia and things like that. But now you can even see, like, if you look at our stock market, how it's performing. Of course, now our interest rates on government securities are even down, and it's like the government doesn't even care, because somehow still there's so much interest and people are still investing. Unfortunately, even the tax has gone up slightly higher, but people are still investing. So it shows you that the mindset has moved. Like people are just like, yeah, I'm still getting a return on this. I'm not going to say I'll just squander my money or I don't know, do what with my money. I'm going to put it in a place where it will give me a return. I would decide what to do with that return, but I'm not going to just sit here and like maybe say retirement will figure itself out or my children will like find a way to take care of themselves. So yes, all that is pointing to a mindset shift, because I know like some of these things, if they happened like 5 years ago or 10 years ago, no retail investor would even be putting their money in like any of these things. But even with everything changing, people are still eager to invest and they're doing it and they're talking about it as well, because that's a major win. At some point, money has been taboo in a lot of, like, it's not just Zambia, it's not just Africa. I've watched videos from Australia, Europe, America, Asia, and everyone says, like, talking about money is like something that a lot of people didn't grow up doing. But now people are talking about money. Parents would send a picture of themselves, like, Triple, we are watching you. I'm watching you with my son. I've actually gathered everyone in the house. We're listening to you. Like, and they discuss that, they talk about it. So already that is showing that there's a huge mindset shift amongst our people. And that's really lovely to see. Yeah.
That is lovely to see. What are 5 things you could recommend for people to read and listen to? So that could be a podcast, that could be a book. What do you recommend people to listen to just have that mindset shift for them? That would help them with the mindset shift.
Yo, I'm the worst. Like every time I listen to so many things that I've even stopped storing names per se. But I will maybe probably repeat some. I don't remember what I mentioned last time, so I'll just say. So like My Leak Tale is one podcast that I would highly recommend for anyone to listen to. For mindset shift, really. And of course, she, like, it's not even about money in everything that she talks about. Sometimes she throws in some podcasts about money, but she talks about career, she talks about life. And I feel like it's holistic. When you're transforming yourself to even reach to a point where you're like, now I can handle my money in this way, like you had earlier mentioned, we have had to work on ourselves in so many different ways. Some we didn't even realize at the time when we were doing it. But all that is what led us to now being like, okay, you know what? I can also do this. Because when it comes to money, something that I actually want to see more Zambians do, and I'm saying this because of some of the recent events that I've seen, like how people have treated tourists who've come to like Zambia and all that, I would love to see more Zambians travel. Of course, I know some may never get to that point because of maybe their income brackets or where they're coming from. It's unfortunate. But I would love to see more Zambians travel, see the world, and not seeing it through just like if your workplace takes you to a place, but you yourself. Like people need to get to a point where they feel they are deserving of taking a vacation. Like you don't get to see a country just because your workplace took you there for a conference, but you get up and you say, I'm going to see that city. I'm going to see that town. I think that will relax a lot of people. Like people are in stress and it shows. So podcast like My Leak Tale's podcast, it helps you transform your mindset from like aspects of I'm deserving of nice things. Because sometimes people who earn money, they'll never live a good life. I've seen that. Like they just ask. They will not get nice things for themselves. They will not get to a better house. They will not get a better car and things like that. Joe Dispenza as well, because he helps you really think through your like mindset and how you perceive things. He talks about healing and what, but all his books, oh, I love them, Abundance and all that. So Joe Dispenza for sure. That's two. Can I reach five?
Can you reach where you can reach? At three, maybe?
Okay. So those are like very mindset focused, but obviously the famous book by Joseph Murphy, The Power of Thinking Big. If in case someone out there just, you may not know that you're even thinking small. So sometimes you need to read these books and then you realize, oh my God, I've been thinking small. And then the traditional guys like Bob Proctor, he talks about paradigm shifts. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I could listen to like those videos over and over again. I remember the first time that we listened to something on paradigm shifts, and every time would encounter a thought that is like, I've held on to this, you like ask yourself, how can I shift this? How can I change it? So even the thing I mentioned for Joe Dispenza, let me just like briefly mention on something called firing new neurons. Like that is something that people need to learn about. Like just saying, I'll take a different route today. I'm not going to pass through the same route. I'll take a different one. Today, I'll not eat from the left side. I'll eat from the right side. Sounds silly, but you will realize that sometimes we are so stuck in our ways that we don't even know that we're zombies. We don't try to do things differently. And that's why you're maybe rigid to trying out different things, even just whether it's for your self-development or your money. So yeah, I've mentioned Bob Proctor, I've mentioned Joseph Murphy, but also Brian Tracy's odd recordings, even the new ones, but the old recordings, I think they're golden. That's something I would highly recommend that people get on as well. Now that I'm on a roll, I'll just add the bonus, Jim Rohn. So all these are linked to mindset, but they'll also talk about money. They'll talk about they say rituals, like maybe morning rituals, but now we call it routine. So don't overly think it. Eh? It's just like, how do you set up
Thing?
Do you journal? Do you ask yourself questions and answer them? Or you just wait to be asked and just stuck? Like, you get to learn more about yourself by listening to these people, because they'll ask you the questions, the tough questions, the easy questions, the things that you've never asked yourself before. And once you get to into the habit of answering those things, journaling about them, whether it's on your notes app on the phone or just a journal, I would actually recommend that you write it out. You will see how you begin to shift. So, yeah.
I like that. Brock Proctor is a favorite. I listen to his audiobook. I read Born Rich. Yeah. Brock Proctor. I think The only one I can add is not Napoleon Hill, but Errol Nightingale's recordings on
YouTube. Yeah, Errol. Yeah, I love his voice. Yeah, yeah.
He's the one that introduced me to... So Brock Proctor introduced me to Errol Nightingale, and Brock Proctor introduced me to Napoleon Hill's work. So it's like, that's my jam. Yeah. But I'll listen to the ones you've mentioned. I think that every time I feel stuck, I think for the past few weeks I felt stuck. So I went to Bongo Hive and I had like a really intimate conversation with one of the founders. And he's like, I've seen you somewhere. Like, I've seen you somewhere. Randomly, we had conversations and I was like, you know what? You don't know what you have done, but I needed to come here to kind of just reflect on my work and also just have like a shift in an environment. So yeah, I think this would be good shift in anyone's environment that wants to kind of shift their mindset. Chipepo, I would like you to ask me a question.
Okay. I've thought of a very simple one because I was like, oh, I'm going to ask her like a hard one, but no. Do you ever plan a word for like a new year or a theme? And if yes, what is it? What's your word or what's your theme? If no, then I'll have to ask you a different question.
I don't think I plan a word for the year, but I do have something that I don't plan. And you can ask me a question, but I think I do have something that I always say either way, right? I've been saying either way for the past 5 years. I say this, something doesn't work out. I say this in a relationship. I'm always like, hey, either way, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like the way, whatever pattern it might go. I'm good.
I get it.
Every single time. So you can ask me a different question.
Okay. In that case, then, what are you working on for quarter four in one sentence?
Transition.
Oh, okay. One word. I love that. Okay.
A lot is going on. So yeah, big changes are coming. So I'm very grateful and excited. Like you, I think that this is my new year. My birthday is coming up. So I feel like when my birthday hits, it's my new year.
Yeah.
So a lot won't come on the 1st of January because everything would be planned out. Everything will be rolling by then. So yeah, I'm also just ready for my new year to start, which is like in a few days. So I'm excited about that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That's it for me.
What do you look forward to? I know, right? What do you look forward to is the last question.
In general, that's so.
Yeah, in general. Yeah.
I look forward to new achievements, small ones actually. I just like to like do something like small, a new thing that I've never done before. I enjoy that because I'm like, oh my God. So it's either that or learning something new because I always tell myself. And I think my partner is always like, oh my God, because I always tell him, like, can you imagine what else I don't know? Because I just learned about it. Like, what I don't know that's out there. Yeah. So I love that.
I love that for you as well. Chipepo, thank you so much for giving me your time and giving us your time and your presence. You always do so much for this community. It's always a joy to have you. Honestly, I don't know if I say this enough, but I'm very grateful that you always say yes when you can and we always try to align and everything. So thank you so much. I've had so much fun having you back.
Thank you.
And I'll have you next year. So, but yeah.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to our next one.
Yeah, and for everybody listening, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you can share it with a friend and talk about it and just hope you have that mindset shift that we've been talking about and learn a lot from us. With that being said, bye for now.
Bye.